إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. إن شاء الله we will do. I want to talk about the issue of masajid and the adab of masajid. Maybe we will do this in one or two days, inshallah. Because these are very important issues with regard to masajid, and many people have asked questions. So I want to try to clarify the doubts to the best of my ability. The first issue is, what is a masjid? A masjid is any place which has been designated specifically for salah, where salah is permitted and where the five salawat are happening, including Jumu'ah. There is no requirement that this designation of the place should be done in writing or in any other form. As long as the place has been made waqf, meaning that the place has been specifically designated for salah, it automatically becomes a waqf fi sabilillah, and that becomes a masjid. The requirement is nothing more than that. It can be an open piece of ground. It can be something which has a roof. It can be something which has any kind of roof. It can be something which is in the basement of a building. It can be something which is on any floor of a building. It can have something on top of it, below it. Absolutely no. As long as it has been designated as a masjid, meaning that it has been kept aside for salah and all the five salawat are prayed and Jumu'ah, it becomes a masjid, and you can make aitikaf in it for Ramadan and so on and so forth. Once it has been made for a masjid, once it has been designated for a masjid, it cannot then be used for any other purpose. That is the clear thing of waqf, meaning that now the owner of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the owner anyway, but meaning that specifically this has been set aside for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's worship, and therefore it cannot be used for some other purpose. You cannot convert that masjid tomorrow into some other purpose, whatever that purpose might be. However, a masjid may be used for other Islamic as well as public benefit purposes. For example, you can have a school in a masjid and all that kind of thing. Obviously, masjid cannot be turned into a shop or something, so that's important to understand. So this is the with regard to the masjid. If a masjid, for example, this masjid is in a building, tomorrow if this building is demolished, something else is built here, that is also possible, not a problem. But the place still remains a masjid. So this area which has been designated as a masjid will remain a masjid. And as I said, there is no requirement whatsoever that there needs to be a document, it has to be signed, sealed, nothing, absolutely nothing. As long as it has been used, it is considered a waqf, irrespective of whether anything has been written or not. It is written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that cannot be changed. Once it is done, alhamdulillah. So whoever makes it waqf, that person can rest assured that his good deed is protected before Allah, and nobody can change that. If somebody changes it, then that the sin and that nahusat is on the head of the one who changed it. The one who designated it, the one who allowed it, salah to be performed, inshallah he or she benefits from that place in any way, because they are, in any case, because they are the ones who designated that. Number one. Number two, a masjid is open to any human being on the face of the earth, except for the Haramain Sharifain, which are only designated for Muslims. Other than that, every masjid is open to every human being. It is open to Muslims, obviously. It is open to the Shafi'is and the Hanafis and the Hanbalis and the Malikis and the Salafis and the Barelwis and the Thisvis and Thatvis, anyways. It is open to Hindus and Christians and Sikhs and atheists and no atheists, and anybody, any human being is welcome in a masjid, man or woman, provided that they fulfill the conditions of purity, meaning that women who are in a state of impurity, who are in their menstrual period, are not permitted inside a masjid. Men, if they are in a state of janaba, meaning that if they have, if there is a need for ghusl, then they are not permitted inside a masjid. Other than that, anyone is welcome. Now, it is also not the job of anyone responsible for a masjid to ask someone, are you pure or impure? So this is left to you. If deliberately knowing that you are impure, if you enter a masjid, then you are committing a deliberate sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are responsible for it yourself. But everyone and everyone is welcome. A masjid is open to black people and white people and yellow people and green people and people with pink and blue stripes and any race and any color, no matter the shape of your nose, no matter how short and long, no matter whether your eyes are chinky or not chinky. I'm just saying because these are unfortunately, very sadly, these are the basis on which we discriminate. We actually have boards on our masjid saying that this is a Barelvi masjid or this is a Tablighi masjid or this is a, you know, Tablighi masjid I've never seen, but Barelvi I've seen. And we have seen, they say Barelvis call themselves Ahlul Sunnat wal Jamaat. MashaAllah, very good, because we are all Ahlul Sunnat wal Jamaat, because there is no other Jamaat, right? and then you have masjids which are, we say, this is a Salafi masjid. This is a masjid of Ahlul Hadith. Please, anyone who restricts a masjid in the name of this Jamaat or that Jamaat is committing haram. Anyone who rests, because then that comes under the definition of Masjid al-Dirar, which Rasulullah ﷺ was ordered to demolish. Please understand, the masjid is not your house. It is not the house of your Jamaat. It is the house of Allah. If it is the house of your Jamaat, then Salah is not valid in that masjid. Simple as that. So if you keep somebody out of a masjid, then your Salah is not valid in that masjid. It is haram. There is absolutely no discrimination whatsoever in anyone coming into the masjid. So please make, if you have such boards on your masjid, remove them immediately. I mentioned in the beginning saying that everyone is welcome, all human beings. Why? Because if a Hindu or a Sikh or a Christian or an atheist or whatever wants to learn about Islam, where do you want him to go? To the disco? The masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid Nabawi, was open to everybody. There are any number of records of people who came to the masjid when they were not Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only permitted them, he allowed them to live in the masjid. They stayed for days in the masjid. And many of them accepted Islam because of what they saw happening in the masjid. So the masjid is not restricted to anybody. People are more than welcome. Second thing, as I said, what is a masjid and who can come in a masjid? Now the issue of Imamat. There is a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man came to him and he accepted Islam and he was the head of his tribe. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, please give me the permission to make imamat in my tribe. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can make imamat. And he said, appoint somebody to call the azan, but do not pay him specifically. So imams who take money, muazzins who take money, may Allah forgive them. This is not from the sunnah. There's a very specific hadith to say, do not take money for that. Give money for in some other way or, you know, whatever. But taking money to do imamat, taking money to call the adhan, this is not from the sunnah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically prohibited it. The hadiths are there. I'm saying this also because we had a very bad experience. This time we wanted to call an imam, a hafiz, to do tarawih from Egypt, because we said, you know, beautiful qiraat and so on and so forth. We tried our best. People said to us, you have to pay £50,000. £50,000. Egyptian pounds, but the pound is a pound, right? Whatever the thing, £50,000. They will not come before that. So I said to them, we will pay for the airfare, we pay for them to stay here, take care of the accommodation, everything else. And then people obviously in the masjid, you know, alhamdulillah, they will give gifts. No. We must know how much is that gift. So I said, then salah behind you is not valid according to me. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Assalamu alaikum. Keep your qirat, keep your imam, keep your whatever. We are not interested. We are very happy with whoever is here. Because alhamdulillah, we don't pay a single cent to anyone who comes and leads salah or gives khutbah and whatnot. What somebody gives on their own privately to someone, that's up to them. But we pay them nothing, we ask for nothing, and we take nothing. So this is very important as far as the imamat is. The imam of the masjid is the imam of the community, right? To do that job, take a salary, that is what completely destroys the waqar of imamat. The Imam of the Muslims was the Khalifatul Muslimin. Who was the Imam of Masjid al-Nabawi when Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab was the Khalifa, or when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, or Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu? The whole fitrah happened because they stopped him from doing the Imam. Why? Because the Imam of the Masjid is the Imam of the community. He's not an Imam of Turakat of Salah. We have destroyed this and we have destroyed our own Waqar. May Allah protect us from this. We must create, if you have Imams, and if there are people who need a source of livelihood, create a source of livelihood for them. Give them something else. Let them do that. But asking for money to lead salah, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. So very, very important, these three aspects of imamat, and then the adhan. It is the calling the adhan is one of the biggest blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. You take money for that? Fourth thing, and with that we'll finish today, and then tomorrow we'll do other issues. Fourth thing is the haqq of the masjid on the individual. The haqq of the masjid on us, on the Muslims, is that the masjid should be kept clean. It is not the job of some khadim of the masjid to clean the masjid, including the toilets. It is the job and it is the responsibility of every musalli. If he or she sees something which is unclean, it is their job to remove it. It is their job to come and volunteer and offer to do the khidmat of the masjid. If there is a khadim who is doing it, that's fine. But I'm saying that don't keep this in your mind to say, this is not my job. I've heard this from people in an Islamic university doing the work of da'wah. The da'wah organization, when you tell them, please do the khidmat of the masjid, they say that is the job of the khuddam. Our job is to invite towards Allah. Which Allah? What Allah? Which invitation? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's job. You do not want to do the khidmat of the masjid and you call yourself a person who is doing the work of da'wah. It's shame on you. Absolute shame on you. So please make this very, very clear to yourself and to others. The khidmat of the masjid is the job of every musalli. Which includes, and I'm saying this again and again, includes cleaning the toilets of the masjid. It is the job of the musalliyin. Alhamdulillah, I have seen people who are, I've seen scholars, I've seen ulama, I've seen professors in universities, I have seen big business people, billionaires, cleaning the toilets of the masjid. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown me. So please, make this very, very clear. If there is a khadim, let it be. If people are doing it. But I'm saying that don't keep this in your mind as if you are some great, fancy person who's, no. In the masjid, everybody is equal, absolutely equal. Ek hisaf mein khade ho gaye Mahmood Ayaz. This is not only for the Shairi of Iqbal. Very, very clear. Once you are in the masjid, there are no reservations, there are no reserved places. Some masajid have a reserved place for this one and that one. This is haram. There is a place, every place is for every musalli. Whoever comes first, that is that person's right to be in that place. So cleaning of the masjid and so on. Now in this haqq of the masjid also comes the issue of conserving. So conserving of all resources, conserving of water, conserving of electricity, air conditioning, whatever is in the masjid. So please be very, used. It is meant for you. So by all means, use the water, use the electricity, but don't walk into the masjid and then turn on every light. We see all of this absolutely ridiculous behavior. You don't do that in your own house because you pay the bill. In the masjid, somebody else pays the bill. So the moment you walk into the masjid, you turn on every single light in the masjid. You turn on the air conditioners. When you are making wudu, the water runs as if this is connected directly to the clouds. No, please, these resources of the masjid. It is actually recommended to make wudu in your house and then go to the masjid. Not go to the masjid and make wudu. That's a different matter. Maybe you are working or something and you're going from the office. Maybe there's no place to make wudu or you have been traveling. Whatever, you come and make wudu. Alhamdulillah, there is a place, wudu place for people to make wudu. But not for people who are coming from their home. They come without wudu to the masjid and then they make wudu in the masjid. No. Make wudu in your homes and come to the masjid for the sake of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every step you take, when you make wudu, and that hadith is very clear, you make wudu and go to the masjid with the intention of salah. The hadith does not say go to the masjid and make wudu. It says make wudu first and then go to the masjid with the intention of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives one sin and raises one daraja for every single step that you take going towards the masjid. So let us take the benefit of that and conserve the resources of the masajid. Don't, as I said, it's the house of Allah, so treat it like that. Fourth point is the issue of dress. Clothing, for whether it is men or women, must fulfill the condition of the Sharia, which is that it must cover the awra, it must not show the shape of the body, it must not be transparent, so the body should not be visible through it, it must not be so tight that the shape of the body is visible, and it must cover your body completely, the awra of the men and the women, we know what that is, that must be completely covered. We have a very shameful situation today where people, men, they wear clothes which are very, very tight. You can see the shape of the whole body. And to make matters worse, they have these trousers which, you know, which hang on. I don't know, maybe it's magnetism or something, because there's a constant clash between gravity and the body's magnetism. The trouser is always headed south on the person. And then they wear these t-shirts which are just about round their neck. So when they go into ruku or they go into sujood, then inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We have this the opportunity to destroy your own salah and your own Allah alam. So please have some shame, have some dignity. Don't wear clothes like this. Don't even wear them, not only in the masjid, don't wear them anywhere. Don't wear them anywhere. There's no sense in wearing such clothes. I mean, wear proper clothes which have dignity. What sense does it make even outside to wear clothes like this? Then also the issue of t-shirts with stuff printed on it. People have t-shirts with, you know, decide, are you a walking billboard or are you a human being? I mean, what are you, right? So it's ridiculous. You have these big slogans printed on the front of it, back of it. Some of them think that this is great dawah, you know, have this slogan. If you want to know about Allah, ask me. What is that? This is a slogan, this is a t-shirt. Please don't have things like this. In the Hanafi mazhab, if you read while you are in salah, if you read something which is not in Arabic, which is some other language, your salah is invalid. So somebody, now you have got this great slogan on the back of your shirt, if you want to know about Allah, ask me. Somebody standing behind you is praying salah, he reads that stuff, his salah is destroyed. So what is he going to ask you? So don't do that. You come to the masjid with dignity, wear decent clothes. We are not saying you have to wear expensive clothes, clean clothes, decent clothes, and without all of these prints and all sorts of slogans and shapes and pictures and whatnot on it. And very, very important, the final point to close is cleanliness. Cleanliness. Now, of course, if you have been working hard, you are a laborer, you are a mechanic, whatnot, you've got some oil on your clothes, or maybe, you know, you've been working very hard and you are sweaty, may Allah forgive you, no problem, inshallah, go and pray. Don't stop praying because of that reason. Oil, motor oil, whatever on your clothes does not make your clothes najis, so you are most welcome to pray. But alhamdulillah, most of us who go to the masajid, we are not manual laborers working on some construction site. So when you go, please use deodorant. Deodorants are meant to be used. There's nothing nice about your sweat. Don't go and stink in the masjid. Number two, do not eat onion and garlic. Sometimes you stand next to the person and you're wondering whether you're standing next to a pot or you're standing next to a human being. Every masala in the world is, you know, you can smell it. So no, don't do that. Go clean clothes, smell nice, wear proper... use deodorants, perfumes, brush your teeth. If you sneeze, cover your mouth. If you cough, cover your mouth. Don't spread germs all over the masjid by sneezing and coughing in that way. And finally, and very importantly, cell phones, please turn it off. Stamp on it, sit on it, smash it, break it, do whatever you want, but don't make it ring in the masjid. If it rings, if you forgot, inshallah, you don't do that deliberately, but if you forgot and it starts ringing, then shut the phone. Don't stand there and say, well, I am in salah. You are in salah, you are destroying everybody else's salah. Shut the phone. Turn the phone off in whichever way you want, but do not allow your cell phone to ring in the masjid. Best thing in the world, don't take the phone to the masjid at all. Leave it in your car, leave it in your home, wherever. If you take it, ensure that you shut it off. But do not carry a phone in the masjid and do not make that phone or allow that phone to ring. Give yourselves at least that peace of mind while you are in the masjid. Stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not having, you know, phone calls and whatnot. I think with that, tomorrow we'll talk about some other things. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to treat His houses with respect and to bless us, because He's blessed us already by allowing us into His house. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our coming and to accept our du'as and to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.